The Sanctuary and 2300 Days. Chapter 9. The Angel's Date of the 70 Weeks. We have seen that the 70 weeks are cut off from the 2300 days. Hence, when the date of the 70 weeks is established, the key to unlock and understand the reckoning of the days is in our hand. The date for the commencement of the weeks is thus given by Gabriel. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Daniel 9, verse 25. We present the following important testimony from the Advent Herald. It is a calm, dispassionate vindication of the original dates, which establishes them beyond dispute. It was written in the years 1850 and 1851, and consequently cannot be supposed to be given with a desire to prove that the days ended in 1844, as the Herald is not willing to admit that fact. Therefore, it must be regarded as candid and honorable testimony to important facts. That it demolishes every view which has been put forth to readjust the 2300 days, no one who can appreciate the force of the arguments presented will fail to perceive. For further testimony, the reader is cited to a very valuable work by S. Bliss entitled Analysis of Sacred Chronology. The Herald speaks as follows. The Bible gives the data for a complete system of chronology extending from the creation to the birth of Cyrus, a clearly ascertained date. From this period downward, we have the undisputed canon of Ptolemy and the undoubted era of Nebuchadnezzar extending below our vulgar era. At the point where inspired chronology leaves us, this canon of undoubted accuracy commences, and thus the whole arch is spanned. It is by the canon of Ptolemy that the great prophetical period of 70 weeks is fixed. This canon places the 7th year of Artaxerxes in the year B.C. 457, and the accuracy of the canon is demonstrated by the concurrent agreement of more than 20 eclipses. The 70 weeks date from the going forth of a decree respecting the restoration of Jerusalem. There were no decrees between the 7th and 20th years of Artaxerxes. 490 years, beginning with the 7th, must commence in B.C. 457 and end in A.D. 34. Commencing in the 20th, they must commence in B.C. 444 and end in A.D. 47. As no event occurred in A.D. 47 to mark their termination, we cannot reckon from the 20th. We must therefore look to the 7th of Artaxerxes. This date we cannot change from B.C. 457 without first demonstrating the inaccuracy of Ptolemy's canon. To do this, it would be necessary to show that the large number of eclipses by which its accuracy has been repeatedly demonstrated have not been correctly computed, and such a result would unsettle every chronological date and leave the settlement of epochs and the adjustment of eras entirely at the mercy of every dreamer, so that chronology would be of no more value than mere guesswork. As the 70 weeks must terminate in A.D. 34, unless the 7th of Artaxerxes is wrongly fixed, and as that cannot be changed without some evidence to that effect, we inquire, what evidence marked that termination? The time when the apostles turned to the Gentiles harmonizes with that better than any other which has been named, and the crucifixion in A.D. 31 in the midst of the last week is sustained by a mass of testimony which cannot be easily invalidated. Advent Herald, March 2, 1850. The Savior attended but 4 Passovers, at the last of which he was crucified. This could not bring the crucifixion later than AD 31, as is recorded by Aurelius Cassiodorus, a respectable Roman senator, about AD 514, in the consulate of Tiberius Caesar Augustus V and Aelius Sejanus, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the 8th of the calends of April. In this year and in this day, says Dr. Hales, agree also the Council of Caesarea, AD 196 or 198, the Alexandrian Chronicle, Maximus Monicus, Nicephorus Constantinus, Cedrinus, and in this year, but on different days, concur Eusebius and Epiphanius, followed by Kepler, Bucer, Patinus, and Petavius. Advent Herald, August 24, 1850. There are certain chronological points which have been settled as fixed, and before the 70 weeks can be made to terminate at a later period, those must be unsettled by being shown to have been fixed on wrong principles, and a new date must be assigned for their commencement based on better principles. Now that the commencement of the reign of Artaxerxes Longimanus was B.C. 464-3 is demonstrated by the agreement of above 20 eclipses, which have been repeatedly calculated and have invariably been found to fall in the times specified. Before it can be shown that the commencement of his reign is wrongly fixed, it must first be shown that those eclipses have all been wrongly calculated. This no one has done, or ever will venture to do. Consequently, the commencement of his reign cannot be removed from that point. The 70 weeks must date from some decree for the restoration of Jerusalem. Only two events are named in the reign of Artaxerxes for the commencement of those weeks. The one is the decree of the 7th year of his reign, and the other that of the 20th. From one of these 490 years must reckon. As his reign began B.C. 464-3, his 7th year must have been B.C. 458-7, and his 20th B.C. 445-4. If the 70 weeks date from the former, they cannot terminate later than A.D. 34, and if from the latter, they cannot have terminated earlier than A.D. 46-7. In addition to the above, 69 of the 70 were to extend to the Messiah the Prince. It does not read that they are to terminate when he is called the Prince, or that he is to begin to be the Prince when they terminate. They were to extend to the Messiah, the words the Prince being added to show who was signified by the Messiah. 69 weeks of years are 483 years. Beginning these with the 7th of Artaxerxes, they extend to AD 26-7. Dating from the 20th, they terminate in AD 89-90. Was there anything in either of those years which would make the words unto the Messiah the Prince appropriate? When Jesus was baptized of John in Jordan, a voice was heard from heaven acknowledging the Savior as the Son of God, in whom the Father was well pleased. Consequently, he was the Messiah the Prince whose coming had been predicted. With that baptism, the Savior commenced the work of his public ministry. The Messiah the Prince had then come, as it was predicted he should at the end of the 69 weeks. When he was acknowledged as the Son of God, the Messiah, he went into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled." The time then fulfilled must have been some predicted period. There was no predicted period which could then terminate but the 69 or 70 weeks. Did either of these then terminate? We have seen that the former, reckoned from the 7th of Artaxerxes, as it is fixed by astronomical calculations, would end in AD 26 to 7, and AD 27 we find is the precise point of time when the Savior must have been about 30 years of age, when he was baptized of John and declared the time fulfilled. At the first Passover the Savior attended, which could not have been later than the spring of his second year, the Jews told him that the temple had been 46 years in building. Reckoning back 46 years from AD 28, they began BC 19, which is the precise year when Herod began the work of rebuilding the temple. From the eclipse which marked the death of Herod, before which the Savior had been born, his birth could not have been later than BC 4, which would make him about 30 at the very time of his baptism of John. Such a concurrence of chronological, astronomical, and historical testimony can only be set aside by testimony still more conclusive. Your argument that he was not called a prince till after his crucifixion is of no weight, for the Jews could not have crucified the Prince of Life as Peter accused them if he was not the Prince of Life till after his crucifixion. Nor is your argument respecting the midst of the week any more to the point. Your criticism has respect only to the English word midst. If you wish to show that it does not mean middle in the present case, you must first show that the Hebrew word chatzai, which is here translated midst, from the verb chatza, has no such meaning, and that its verb has not a special signification of dividing into two parts or to have, and that it has not a general sense of dividing into any number of equal parts, as Hebraists tell us it has. Till you show this, you make no progress whatever toward proving that it does not mean middle. But what was to occur in the midst of the week? The sacrifice and oblation were then to cease. Those Jewish ordinances could only cease actually or virtually. They did not actually cease till AD 70. They ceased virtually only at the crucifixion. They then ceased to foreshadow the sacrifice then offered. Was that in the midst of the week? 3.5 years from AD 27 bring us to the spring of AD 31, where Dr. Hales has demonstrated the crucifixion took place. The week during which the covenant was confirmed was that in the midst of which the sacrifice and oblation virtually ceased. Consequently, it could not extend beyond AD 34, the latest time to which 70 weeks from the 7th of Artaxerxes Longimanus could reach. Advent Herald, February 15, 1851. Eusebius dates the first half of the Passion Week of years as beginning with our Lord's baptism and ending with his crucifixion. The same period precisely is recorded by Peter as including our Lord's personal ministry, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us at his ascension, which was only 43 days after the crucifixion. Acts 1 verses 21 and 22. And the remaining half of the Passion Week ended with the martyrdom of Stephen in the 7th or last year of the week. For it is remarkable that the year after, AD 35, began a new era in the church, namely the conversion of Saul, or Paul the Apostle, by the personal appearance of Christ to him on the road to Damascus, when he received his mission to the Gentiles, after the Jewish Sanhedrin had formally rejected Christ by persecuting his disciples, Acts 9, verses 1 to 18. And the remainder of the Acts principally records the circumstances of his mission to the Gentiles and the churches he founded among them. Dr. Hales, as quoted in the Advent Herald, March 2, 1850. The foregoing testimony from the Herald establishes the following points. Number 1. The decree referred to in Daniel 9, from which the 70 weeks are dated, is the decree of the 7th of Artaxerxes and not that of his 20th year, Ezra 7. And to this point, we deem it duty to append an extract from Professor Whiting. We are informed in Ezra 7, verse 11, "Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord, and of his statutes to Israel." The letter then follows, written not in Hebrew, but in Chaldaic or the Eastern Aramaic, the language then used at Babylon. At the 27th verse, the narrative proceeds in Hebrew. We are thus furnished with the original document by virtue of which Ezra was authorized to restore and build Jerusalem, or, in other words, by which he was clothed with power not merely to erect walls or houses, but to regulate the affairs of his countrymen in general, to set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people beyond the river. He was commissioned to enforce the observance of the laws of his God and to punish those who transgressed with death, banishment, confiscation, or imprisonment. See verses 23 to 27. No grant of powers thus ample can be found in the case of Nehemiah or in any other instance after the captivity. That the commission given to Ezra authorized him to proceed in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem is evident from the fact that in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, Nehemiah, who was then in the Persian court, received information that the remnant who were left of the captivity, then in the province, were in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem was broken down, and the gates thereof burned with fire. See Nehemiah 1, verses 1 to 3. The fact is that Ezra and his associates met with continued opposition from the Samaritans, so that during the whole of the 7 weeks or 49 years, from the time that Ezra went up to the last act of Nehemiah in obliging the Jews to put away their strange wives, the prediction of the prophet was verified. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. After Nehemiah reached Jerusalem, he examined the city by night. The result of his examination is thus stated, Nehemiah 2, verse 13. "And I went out by night, by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire." It is evident that the walls and gates which had been destroyed were the works of Ezra. The impropriety of referring the language of Nehemiah to the destruction of the city by Nebuchadnezzar will be seen at once, if we recollect that he reduced it to ruins on the capture of Zedekiah, B.C. 588, 144 years previous to the time when Nehemiah went up to Jerusalem. Advent Shield, Number 1, Article, Prophetic Chronology, pages 105-6. That Ezra understood that power was conferred upon himself and upon the people of Israel to rebuild the street of Jerusalem and the wall is certain from his own testimony recorded in chapter 9, verse 9. Number 2. The second point in the evidence which the Herald has adduced is this: the 7th year of Artaxerxes, from which the decree is dated, is fixed beyond dispute in B.C. 457. Number 3. The commencement of Christ's ministry in A.D. 27 is clearly established, being just 69 weeks or 483 prophetic days from the decree in B.C. 457. Number 4. The crucifixion in the midst of the week is proved to have occurred in the spring of A.D. 31, just 3.5 years from the commencement of Christ's ministry. Number 5. And it further demonstrates that the remaining 3.5 years of the 70th week ended in the autumn of A.D. 34. Here the 70 weeks, which had been cut off upon the Jews, in which they were to finish the transgression, close with the Jewish Sanhedrin's act of formally rejecting Christ by persecuting his disciples, and God gives the great apostle to the Gentiles his commission to them, Acts 9. These important dates are clearly and unequivocally established by historical, chronological, and astronomical testimony. 69 of the 70 weeks from the decree in B.C. 457 ended in A.D. 27, when our Lord was baptized and began to preach, saying, "The time is fulfilled." Mark 1. 3.5 years from this brings us to the midst of the week in A.D. 31. The period of 70 weeks terminates in the autumn of A.D. 34. Or, to be more definite, the first 3.5 years of the 70th week ended in the first Jewish month, April, in the spring of A.D. 31. The remaining 3.5 years would therefore end in the 7th month, autumn of A.D. 34. Here then we stand at the end of the great period which Gabriel, in explaining the 2300 days to Daniel, tells him was cut off upon Jerusalem and the Jews. Its commencement, intermediate dates, and final termination are unequivocally established. It remains then to notice this one grand fact. The first 490 years of the 2300 ended in the 7th month, autumn of A.D. 34. This period of 490 years being cut off from the 2300, a period 1,810 years remains. This period of 1,810 years being added to the 7th month, autumn of A.D. 34, brings us to the 7th month, autumn of 1844. And here, after every effort which has been made to remove the dates, all are compelled to let them stand. For a moment, let us recur to the events of 1843 and 1844. Previous to the year 1843, the evidence on the going forth of the decree in B.C. 457 had been clearly and faithfully set forth. And as the period of 457 years before Christ subtracted from the 2300 would leave but 1,843 years after Christ, the end of the 2300 years was confidently expected in 1843. But if the 2300 years began with the commencement of B.C. 457, they would not end till the last day of A.D. 1843, as it would require all of 457 and all of 1843 to make 2300 full years. But at the close of 1843, it was clearly seen that as the crucifixion occurred in the midst of the week, in the spring of A.D. 31, the remainder of the 70th week, 3.5 years would end in the autumn of A.D. 34. And as the 70 weeks, or 490 years, ended in the 7th month, autumn of A.D. 34, it is a settled point that the days began not in the spring with Ezra's starting from Babylon, but in the autumn with the commencement of the work at Jerusalem, Ezra 7. And this view, that the days begin with the actual commencement of the work, is much strengthened by the fact that the first 7 weeks, or 49 years, are manifestly allotted to the work of restoration in troublous times. And that period could only begin with the actual commencement of the work, Daniel 9, verse 25. When it was seen that only 456 years and a fraction had expired before Christ, it was at once understood that 1,843 years and a portion of 1844, sufficient to make up a full year when joined to that fraction, was required in order to make 2300 full years. In other words, the 2300 days in full time would expire in the seventh month, 1844. And if we take into the account the fact that the midst of the 70th week was the 14th day of the first month, and consequently the end of the 70 weeks must have been at a corresponding point in the seventh month, AD 34, we perceive at once that the remainder of the 2300 days would end about that point in the seventh month, 1844. It was with this great fact before us that the 2300 days of Daniel, which reached to the cleansing of the sanctuary, would terminate at that time, and also with the light of the types that the high priest, in the example and shadow of heavenly things, on the 10th day of the seventh month, entered within the second veil to cleanse the sanctuary, that we confidently expected the advent of our Redeemer in the seventh month, 1844. The prophecy said, "Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." The type said that at that season in the year the high priest should pass from the holy place of the earthly tabernacle to the most holy to cleanse the sanctuary, Leviticus 16. With these facts before us, we reasoned as follows. Number 1. The sanctuary is the earth, or the land of Palestine. Number 2. The cleansing of the sanctuary is the burning of the earth, or the purification of Palestine at the coming of Christ. Number 3. And hence we concluded that our great high priest would leave the tabernacle of God in heaven and descend in flaming fire on the 10th day of the seventh month in the autumn of 1844. It is needless to say that we were painfully disappointed. And though the man does not live who can overthrow the chronological argument, which terminates the 2300 days at that time, or meet the mighty array of evidence by which it is fortified and sustained, yet multitudes, without stopping to inquire whether our conceptions of the sanctuary and of its cleansing were correct or not, have openly denied the agency of Jehovah in the Advent movement and have pronounced it the work of man.